Hey guys, Pastor Jeremiah here. Thanks for tuning into our podcast. Tonight, we have special guest Pastor Caleb preaching on the topic of obedience. Listen and be blessed.
Your second option and say, you could do a whole lot better. Just some sarcasm for you. I'm kidding. It's okay. We're all friends, right? But my name's Pastor Caleb. I'm the youth pastor here. And so I've been telling all of the staff, like, I'm really looking forward to preaching to you guys tonight because you guys are adults. And so you sit and you just listen. And so I enjoy that because youth ministry, I don't know if you know this, but it doesn't exactly work that way all the time. Sometimes you have kids just yelling random stuff. Jeremiah experienced that yesterday when he preached for us in the youth ministry. A couple months ago, I had a kid in this section. He put off a stink bomb, and I tried salvaging the night. I was like, all right, everybody get to this side. And so I'm like, God can use this. It'll be okay. Everybody get to this side. And they're all over here. And the smell within like 3 seconds engulfed this entire room. So I'm like, all right, forget it. Go to the gym. Recess. We need like 10 minutes. And so I was sprinting around, getting fans, airing this place out. And so anyways, long story short, none of you guys brought stink bombs with you tonight, right? No. Forgot yours. That's good. But I'm honored to be here tonight. You guys have an amazing young adults pastor, Pastor Jeremiah. I always joke around. Yeah, give it up for him. You got the best young adults pastor. I always joke around. I say, hey, I'd be a whole lot cooler of a youth pastor if I dressed a lot more like Pastor Jeremiah. This is like about as crazy as I get, okay? This is it. I will not go away from white and black Nikes, a box fit shirt, and some Lulu joggers. That's about as crazy as I get. It took me like 5 years to stop wearing like dudes, you know, dudes, the little sliders. It took me forever to stop wearing those. And I remember the first Wednesday wearing Nikes, and I was like, whoa, this feels a bit, this is out of my comfort zone a little bit. And so, anyways, you guys have an amazing young adults pastor. Pastor Jeremiah is such a genuine guy who really loves the Lord, and he loves you guys. And so, in young adults ministry, that's super important. You have a young adults pastor that really truly loves you and loves God. And so you guys are blessed. Along with that, I think it's important for me being here to give a little background. I don't know a lot of you. And so, again, my name's Caleb. I grew up in Austin, about 40 minutes away from here. Anybody heard of Spam? You're like, no, not really. Or if you do know what it is, you're like, yeah, it's disgusting. It's not, I never eat Spam. If you go to Austin, the town kind of smells horrible because that's where Hormel is and they're constantly slaughtering pigs. And so when I moved here in, I think 2021, I was just grateful that it didn't smell like pigs being slaughtered all the time, because that's how they make Spam. But anyways, yeah, I'm from Austin. I'm a pastor's kid. There's a church in Austin called Cornerstone. My dad's been there for like 30 years, and so I grew up in that church, got to serve there, and then started as a youth pastor. I'm on year 4 in youth ministry. It kind of feels like eternity. Like after the first year, you're like, Lord, say, Lord, come back, please. You know? But let's see. Yeah, I grew up pastor's kid, got married to my wife, Alyssa. If I was more prepared, I would have got pictures for you guys, but got married at 20, had our first child, Bo. He's a little over two now, and then we had another one. So my youngest, his name is Ronnie, and so he's a little over one. And now we're having a third Yes. I'm having so many kids, I'm like, when is this next one coming? I don't know. Pray for me. Yes. No, seriously. I'm like, man, what is, you know, part of me is like, I'm already, you know, exhausted. And I'm like, oh, I'm having another child here in 2 months. Awesome. Great. But on a serious note, I love being a dad. It's a whole lot of fun. My life basically consists of watching Shrek. Any Shrek fans? Yeah! I love Shrek, but now if I see Shrek, I feel like I'm dying on the inside because my son Bo watches it like at least once a day. I'm not even joking. Sometimes there is a streak he was on it like two times a day, and then we moved on to Shrek 2, and that was like a little bit of fresh air. And then once I got to Shrek 3, I was like, all right, I don't want to watch Shrek anymore. But the kid like starts yelling Shrek, like he actually loves Shrek. He loves watching Ratatouille. That's actually a good one. Really enjoy that one. Cars. What's that Life is a Highway song? He like starts dancing. Monsters University. He watches that one quite a bit. But yeah, my fam, we love watching movies at night. We go on a lot of walks. When I was 20, I never went on a walk, ever. Like, never. I was like, walking? Why would I just go walking? Like, what's the point of that? Sounds like a waste of time to me. Until you have kids. You have kids, and you realize very quickly, if these kids don't get outside, what happens is they get stir crazy, and they start like tormenting you, and you're like, all right, let's get outside, and you take them outside, and it's like the sun like heals them. I don't know what happens, but all of a sudden their mood flips, and they're good, and so I've gotten kind of sick of walking. We walk a lot. The other day, I was like, I'm gonna try something unique because I used to longboard, right? This wasn't the greatest idea. In my mind, I was like, I'll just longboard with Ronnie on the top and Bo on the bottom, and it'll be great. We'll go twice as fast, right? And I realized very quickly that's not the best idea. Didn't work out too well. But anyways, my life consists of walks, movies. I feel like I'm just making Kraft mac and cheese all the time. Like, I'm like, okay, I guess we're having mac and cheese again and mini corn dogs and quesadillas. Anyways, that's my life. So anybody have kids in the room? A couple of you? Nice. Awesome. Good for you guys. Jeremiah, I was saying to Jeremiah, me and him, we're going to have a lot of conversations. We're going to get very close. He's going to understand the mental torment that comes with children. But anyways, it's an honor to be here tonight. I've been asked to talk about obedience. And so I believe that God's word is going to speak to you in a powerful way. And maybe you're in here today and you're like, I don't really know what I believe about God. I don't know if God doesn't really feel real to me, but I'm here because I want to give God a chance. And so I'm believing today that God's going to speak to you in a powerful way. And for some of you, you're going to believe in Jesus in an authentic, real way for the first time in your life. And so that's what I'm believing today. Why don't we just open up in prayer? Dear Jesus, thank you for who you are. We thank you, Lord, that you're a God who speaks. Thank you, Lord, that you care about every single young adult in this room today. Whether they don't know you, they're far from you, whether they've been serving you for years, for most of their life, we just believe that you want to do something new tonight in this young adult ministry. And so I just pray that you'd stir faith in the room, and Lord, that you would speak to all of us through your word that is alive and active, sharper than a double-edged sword. Lord, your word is God-breathed. It's relevant. It's not irrelevant. And so, Jesus, I pray that you would speak through me to these young adults. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Yeah, we're just going to take a little bit of time to talk about obedience. And so I'm kind of just going to hop around and look at some different scriptures today, if that's okay. We're going to look at James chapter 1, verse 22. Do not, everybody say, do not. Do not. Here's a warning, a rebuke towards casual Christianity, towards lukewarm Christianity, right here in James. This is for people who profess that they are followers of Jesus. Do not merely, here we go, listen to the word, what we're doing right now. Don't just listen to the word. And so, look at this, deceive yourselves. A lot of Christians are deceiving themselves, okay? They go to church. Maybe you go to young adults. You go to a Bible study. You read your Bible. You know your Bible. All of those things are great. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. In other words, obey the word of God. Submit your life to the authority of God. Do what it says. Anyone, he's going to give us a little imagery here. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, but obeying it, but living by it, right? They will, what? Be what? Blessed. They'll be blessed in what they do. So, The picture that I've been getting for maybe the young adult that this applies to would be somebody, yeah, who goes to church on Sundays, reads their Bible, and they're deceiving themselves in that way. They think, okay, I know the Bible, I'm going to church, I'm doing all the Christian things, I'm good. But that's really pointless if you're not submitting to Jesus through his word. It's not enough to know the Bible. It's not enough to stop there, right? And we have a problem on top of that problem to where people don't even know the Bible. So we have a massive problem, right? People don't know the Bible. In other words, they don't know the will of God for their life. They have zero idea because they have no idea what God has said. So that's a problem. And then on top of that, you have people who are like, I'm a follower of Jesus. I go to church, yada, yada, yada. But they're not actively walking in obedience to the scriptures. And if that's the case, It's like you're just reading a manual, and that's it. This is lost its power in your life because you haven't submitted to it. This would be like the Christian who goes to church on the weekends and is consistently getting drunk on the weekends. And see the conflict there? They're deceiving themselves. This is the person who's going to church on the weekends and is carelessly viewing pornography. I'm not talking about somebody who messes up and then has a heart of repentance. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like blatant sin, right? You're carelessly doing these things, but you know the word of God and you go to church, so you think it's everything's fine. But the sad part is you're missing out on the blessing that comes upon your life when you submit to this. Okay? A lot of people don't submit to this, and they're like, I don't feel God. God feels distant. Christianity feels fake to me. Well, have you submitted to this? Have you attempted to live under the authority of God? Because what happens is when you do so, you literally have the blessing of God on your life because you're walking in the will of God for your life, okay? You're walking in the will of God for your life when you're living your life submitted to what the word says. Does that make sense? But a lot of people, they're deceiving themselves. They're missing the point. It's not enough to know the Bible. You need to live according to the Bible. Obedience. And I love this truth that we all, every day, have the opportunity to experience the will of God for our lives. You should think about that as a young adult. Right? You're in the middle of your life, or maybe not even the middle, right? We don't know when we're going to pass away, right? All I know is that in this life, I really want to experience the will of God for my life. That's what I know to be true. And the sad thing is that a lot of people do not experience the will of God for their life. You ever thought about that? You can miss the will of God, the plan of God for your life by turning away from God, disobeying God. But you have the opportunity every day to live your life submitted to Him and experience the blessing of God on your life, which is His will. Which is available to us because we have the Bible. Right? It's a cool thing. It's amazing. When we walk in obedience to Jesus, you're literally walking in the will of God for your life. Think about that. Why? This is why we should value obedience. We should all, if you're saved, your greatest desire in life should be the will of God. It should be that posture towards God. Jesus, I earnestly desire above all things in this world, I earnestly desire you. I think most of us in here, we're in that place, like, I want to obey God. I want to live a life of obedience, but obviously, there's a lot of problems we run into, right? And we see that if you read the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, did they have a hard time following God with all of their heart and living a life of obedience to Him? Yes. They really struggled. And so today I want to, or actually this thought just came to mind. Israel struggled. We see in the beginning with Adam and Eve, they struggled to obey God. They sin. Sin enters the world. And all of a sudden, it's like, boom. Sin, rebellion, disobedience, not obedience. Disobedience is like, it's our default setting. Right? My son, Bo, I don't have to teach him how to disobey, man. He threw a toy at Alyssa today. I was like, all right, say you're sorry. He started yelling, screaming. All right, time out. All right, brought him back. Say you're sorry. He started flipping out again. All right, time out. Did that like 5 times. And then he finally was like, sorry, Mom. Then he's good. But my son Bo, the default setting for humanity is disobedience. You don't have to teach them how to do wrong. You have to teach them how to obey, right? And that's for all of us. That's our natural go-to route. All right, disobey God. Why? Because we're born into sin. That's our sinful nature that's full of desires that are contrary to the will of God for our life. And we got to actively fight that with the presence of God in us, the Holy Spirit. And I'll get to that in a second. But the question, setting all this up, I want to answer, how do we live in obedience? What can I do to do that? Because I think that's where most of us are. Here's the first point. Be careful who you surround yourself with. This is true for kids. This is true for teenagers. And guess what? This is very true for adults. You got to be careful with who you surround yourself with. And it really doesn't matter how secure you are as a person in your faith. We got to be careful with this, because your relationships, your friendships, guess what? All of that, it's all influence on you. It's all influence. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, do not, here we go again, say do not. Do not be yoked. You ever put two egg yolks together? Do not be yoked together with who? Unbelievers. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. Why? For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Somebody who believes in God, lives their life for Jesus, it's not the same as somebody who does not believe in God, who is not living for Jesus. You're going in polar opposite directions, my friends. If you're a follower of Jesus, you're in the world, but you're not what? Of the world. You don't do things the same way the world does. You live your life in a way that reflects the heart of God, that reflects Jesus. You're different. You're going in different directions. You do not, and this is what he's stressing here, you do not share the same things in common. Specifically, a believer and an unbeliever, you do not share what's most important in your life, which is Jesus. And I'm not saying you can't have friends who are unbelievers. That's part of how you reach people who are far from God. But what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? I want to say this, that the wrong friends will bring unnecessary temptation in your life. The wrong friends bring unnecessary temptation in your life. Some of you, maybe you feel that way. You feel like you're trying to do the right thing. But it seems like you're always in compromising situations to where you're disobeying God. And I just want to speak this into your life that it may be because you have surrounded yourself with the wrong people. The wrong friendships can bring, or let me just say this, our friendships bring influence upon us, and it's either godly influence or it's godless influence, okay? It's either worldly influence or they're influencing us in a way that's leading us closer to Jesus, okay? The people you surround yourself with, they're either pulling you closer to Jesus or they're trying to pull you away from Jesus. I remember feeling this way in high school. I remember being on the soccer team and feeling that worldly tug. Why? Because I was surrounded with people who were not following Jesus, who were going in a different direction than I was. And so it was a time where there was a lot of temptation to do things that were not in line with the will of God for my life. But I think part of the blessing was I was able to have godly friendships in my life that were a huge benefit to me that led me closer to God. Be careful who you surround yourself with. Number two, walk in the Spirit. What a great thing. Old Testament, the Spirit of God would descend upon leaders for a short time and then they would depart. We see this with David. The Spirit of God would come upon David. The Spirit of God would come upon Saul, but then it would depart from Saul. Here we are. God's Spirit has been poured out. And God's Spirit is here to stay, to resonate in you, because your body is the dwelling place of the presence of God. You have the Holy Spirit in you. This is why you can faithfully walk with the Lord and obey God. This is why, because you have the Holy Spirit, the presence of God in you. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will, here we go, you walk by the Spirit, and the result is, and you will not do what? You will not gratify the desires, the default setting of your flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. But I want to encourage you, the Spirit is much stronger than the flesh. Some of you find yourself in scenarios where you feel tempted and it feels like you have no other option, but you have the presence of God in you. And in that moment, you have the opportunity to literally walk in the Spirit of God so that you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. Some of you, you're not tracking. You're like, okay, sometimes I have to take a step back, right? You're like, walk in the Spirit. What the heck does that mean? Walk in the Spirit. You as a Christian, as a believer in Jesus Christ, you get to operate in the power of God. It's a crazy thing. This is why obedience is completely possible for you as a follower of Jesus Christ. You as a son of God, as a daughter of God, you get to operate in the power of the Spirit. It's literally God's power. The Bible says that the same Spirit that rose Jesus Christ from the dead lives in you. That Spirit, that power is in you. And you get to walk in this power. You get to operate in function in this power, and it's a supernatural power. It's not a natural thing. A lot of people, a lot of Christians, they struggle to live in obedience because they're operating in the natural. They're operating in their own strength. You're not enough. I'm not enough. We need the help of God. And we have it because we have the Holy Spirit. So as we walk in the Spirit, I'm talking about operating in God's power, in God's strength, not in your own strength. Let me just say this. This is why people who are not saved can struggle with being an alcoholic, and they can try in their own strength over and over and over and over and over again to defeat that addiction, but they're not enough and it doesn't work and they fail. But then there's that time when, boom, they accept the Jesus Christ into their life and they give their life to Him and they believe in faith in the good news of the gospel. And the Holy Spirit comes in, and the Holy Spirit makes you brand new, and the Holy Spirit lives in you, and the Holy Spirit empowers you, and all of a sudden, boom, they're able to be set free from alcoholism because of Jesus. I just want to encourage you that obedience is possible because of the presence of God in you, the Spirit of God in you. But as we walk in the Spirit, it means operating in God's power. It means following God's leading, right? God wants to speak to you all the time. God, the Holy Spirit, is in you. Literally, He's trying to speak to you, to lead you, to guide you. He wants to help you. And oftentimes you're like, okay, well, how do I tell if this is the Holy Spirit or if this is just, you know, Caleb's thoughts? Typically, when it's God the Holy Spirit, it comes against some type of fleshly desire. Okay? Let me give you, you could be watching a show, and you can know there's a scene coming up that's inappropriate. And your mind can go, oh, I can handle it. I'm fine. And God the Holy Spirit can speak to you in that moment. No. Don't have confidence in your flesh. If you have that thought, it's very easy to tell which one's from God and which one's from you. The one that's from you is selfish, it's prideful, it's thinking, I can do this, it's fine, it's not a big deal. The one that's from God, it's trying to protect you. And this isn't just for watching TV shows. This is for, listen, your entire life, God the Holy Spirit wants to nudge you in directions that will align you with His will for your life. So we need to obey His voice. When God speaks to you, don't dismiss it. And you'll find this to be true. When you dismiss that voice, you'll find yourself in disobedience. Because God knows the future. God knows you. He knows what you struggle with. He knows where you are tempted. We need to walk in the Spirit. Number three, I know we kind of just talked about this, but we need to understand how to navigate temptation. Every time that you are not obedient, you're disobedient, you fall into sin, usually there's some type of scenario where you're tempted and you give in to that temptation. Okay? And so the question we should be asking ourselves is, all right, how can I make it through this temptation? Right? James 1 says, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. So before it's disobedience, there's some type of temptation that you gotta know how to navigate that. Is God the tempter? No. He tempts no one. Satan is a tempter. And in this world, you're going to experience temptation, whether it's just from your sinful nature or whether it's from Satan. Psalms 119:11, a very great verse for all of us. I've hidden your word in my heart. I've hidden your word in my heart. I love this part. That I might not, what? Sin against you. There's something to be said about memorizing Scripture and getting into Scripture daily so that the Word of God, it's like it's being downloaded to your heart. And you'll find that this becomes literally like protection for you because it's truth. And when the tempter comes, he comes with oftentimes deception. Okay. Eve, what happened to Eve? She's tempted, but she's also deceived. When you know the truth, what the Word of God does for you, it protects you from deception. I've hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. And look at this. Even Jesus does this. Matthew chapter 4. When the tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. And Jesus answered, It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. If you don't know the word of God, what happens is you're setting yourself up to be deceived. Into believing something that you think this is going to help you, you think this is going to fulfill you, you think this is going to give you clarity, but you fall into deception, and then it leads to disobedience. We need to have the word, we need to cling to the word of God in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is what? Common. This should encourage you a little bit that as adults, you're being tempted with things that the people, other Christians in your life, they're being tempted with the same exact things. And humanity's been tempted with these things for a long time. It's common stuff, right? Love of money, materialistic possessions. They're all heart grabs. It's not bad to have money, but it's bad to love money because you can't serve two masters. You'll love one, you'll despise the other, you'll be devoted to one, you will not be devoted to the other. It's a love of money. And it's common. It's a common temptation for everybody. Right? Money, pleasure. Scripture, were there scenarios where people were tempted to sleep around? Yeah. Some disobeyed God and some obeyed God. Joseph, he's tempted with Potiphar's wife. Joseph obeys God. David, same scenario, he's on the rooftop and he sees a woman bathing and he doesn't flee from sexual immorality. He doesn't remove himself from that temptation. He doesn't do what he should have done. He kind of just lingers in the temptation a little bit. And does David give in to temptation? Yes. Temptation of pleasure, the temptation of status, of power. Right? No temptation has overtaken you except what is common. We all struggle with common temptations. Here's the good news. And God is faithful. God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. 10:30 at night rolls around, just about every night. I feel like I'm going to die if I don't have like 4 bowls of Fruity Pebbles. Okay? He's like, wow, it's serious. Right? I feel tempted in that way. I have a serious sugar addiction. It's bad. It's super bad. The pastors make fun of me for it. They're like, how are you not 250 pounds? You eat 12 cookies at night before you go to bed after 3 bowls of cereal. Anyways, there's times when you're being tempted and you know what you think? You feel like there's no way out of this. This feels like it's the only option. This feels undeniable. Like I cannot deny myself in this. You ever been in that scenario? But God is faithful. You may feel that way, but set your mind on the truth of the Word of God, that God is faithful and He's always, listen, it's a promise for you. He's always going to provide a way out for you every time you're tempted. Every time you're tempted, there's always a way out, and it's because of the faithfulness of God. That's an amazing thing for all of us. You can walk in obedience to the Lord. You can deny yourself and follow Jesus because God is faithful and He always provides a way out. And because you have His Spirit, you have His power in you. And so tonight, I'm just going to have everybody, as we close, I'm going to have everybody stand. And just as we reflect tonight, I just want to have a response time. If you're like, you know what? I don't know. I am not right with God. I don't know if I've ever read the Bible, or wherever you are in your life. If you're like, I don't think I'm saved, but I want to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, and maybe nobody comes forward, and I'd be perfectly fine with that. But I'd feel sick if I leave here not giving you this opportunity. And I felt like God just nudged me over here and said, preach like somebody's eternity's on the line. And so if you're in here today and you're like, I need Jesus in my life. That's what I know to be true in this moment. And it's something that God the Holy Spirit literally does for you. He convicts you of sin. He opens your eyes to this reality of, I need Jesus in my life. That's what the Holy Spirit does for us. And so if that's you and you're like, I just want Jesus. If that's you, on the count of three, I'm just going to ask if you'd just step forward. I know there's a lot of people in here and you're like, I don't want to be singled out. Here's the thing. If you're concerned about what people are thinking, it's going to be a problem for you. Right? If I was embarrassed to be married to my wife, would that be a problem? Huge problem, man. Jesus wants to save you. And so I'm going to have everybody close their eyes right now. If you're like, I just know I need Jesus in my life and I want to give my life to Him, I'm just going to count to three. If you just be bold in your faith, this is literally a step of obedience. This is a step of faith today. If you just step from your seat, meet us up front. We'll go into song of worship and I'll lead you through a salvation prayer. If that's you, on the count of three, would you just step forward? One, two, three. Awesome. Awesome. Worship team can go ahead and lead us.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. My prayer is that this message strengthen and encourage you to live in obedience to the Word of God.